Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work. Scumbags!
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two. This is Sports Rage.
All right, it's Laker games coming down to the wire here right now. It's a one-point game with 15 seconds left. 112-111 for the Pelicans. I'm on the Pelicans. I got plus two. I'm on the over, though. It looks like the over is going to fall short. So, what, 230, 231 or whatever. Man, we got all fired up for the World Cup, man. It's super intense. There's one thing about Iran, though. The Iranian people are very nice. The Iranians are very, very, like, friendly people and stuff. It's just the government. It's not even their government. They're fractured and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like the with the Shahs, they have like normal politicians, and the Shahs, the religious sect, argue with the politicians, and you know whatever. So, like, it's not going to be any hostility in the stadium between American the fans and the Iranians and stuff. It'll be respectful, and with the players too. It'll be intense. You know what I mean? It would be intense, but. England's another story, right? The British fans, those guys like to fight. They do. And they travel everywhere. They try to. You know they're going to get blocked, but it won't be, I don't think, expect like, I wouldn't expect mass hooliganism there in Qatar. I don't think even if you're like a badass, like whatever, I don't think you want to end up in a Qatari jail. I'm imagining there's a lot of things they're going to warn you not to do when you go there. And running rampaging through the streets. You remember, what was it, in Russia last time? I think it was Russia. Remember all the French fans were sitting in like the cafes for the game? People were getting thrown into the river. Remember, people were literally getting tossed off of bridges and stuff like that. That won't happen in Qatar. That's not going to happen in Qatar. It's not going to be like I don't think they're going to be allowed in the country. They're going to monitor them and stuff. And you're going into a place where they make their own laws, guys. Like, that's why I'm not going to there. I'm not going there. It's too easy to make a mistake. Are you going, Matthias? I'll wait for the North American World Cup in 4 years.
Not a snowball's chance in hell I'm going over there, Gabe. Like you said, I'm not getting stuck in a Qatari jail.
Hey, you and I will go to SoFi Stadium. We'll see a World Cup match. We can smoke a fat one in the parking lot. Can't do that in Qatar. Like, you know what I'm saying? LAPD will walk past us. Hey, what's up, guys? Enjoy the game. Right? Hey, guys, have a good one. Right? Thanks, guys. Qatar, like, seriously. You can't even drink in public there. So I don't know what they're going to do with all these drunk people running around. I know it's sort of they're going to look the other way. There is alcohol there, but you're supposed to do it in moderation, which, do they know what they're doing here? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Are there going to be like 100,000 people arrested? like the jails of Qatar is going to be full. Be a bunch of dudes from the Netherlands, a bunch of drunk Germans, Brits, Scots. it's going to be off the hook. Like if you go, like I said, you go to a place like that, man. You don't want to be like that kid that went to North Korea. Remember, he took down a picture of Kim Jong-un off a wall in a hotel or something. He's like, what are you doing? Don't touch anything. Don't look at anything. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. And down the wire, we cut the three ball. They got to get the three. Will it go to overtime? LeBron's got to get the shot off. Don't! April Fools. But I don't. See, that's what I'm saying, man. That's why you don't want to do the April Fool's stuff. Right? And how long is it going to take for Twitter? In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Aha, April Fools. LeBron just airballed the game-winning tying three. Like, I'm telling you, don't joke around LeBron about stuff. He had a really hard time getting a look. He had a real difficult time getting a look. And like, look at the girls' faces. Look at the women's faces. Look,
devastation. You see that?
Yeah, no, like, even they were, like, disgusted. Like, ugh. Like, you see the girl looked at her friend? Like, LeBron just tossed an air ball. There's, like, these two women behind the basket courtside. And, like, not like diva models that are just there. Real fans. You can tell they're real fans. They're sitting there. And, you know, LeBron, that was a worse air ball than I thought it was, even, Matthias. I don't know if you saw that. You see that? Like, I get it. It was a tough look, but it didn't even, it had no chance. So air ball.
I gotta say, I gotta give props to LeBron for actually getting that shot off. He had like three good pump fakes. I was like, oh, he got anger on Valanciunas, got Valanciunas again. I thought they were gonna block him, and he actually got the shot off, which was kind of skillful, but tough loss.
Yeah. But if you notice,
tough loss.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaker. I'm on the Pelicans, though, so it's all right. I lost the over, but whatever. I know what you listen. Like I said, and the Pelicans aren't the best defensive team, actually, but JV's a big guy. So JV came flying in the first time, sort of in the air, flew in. LeBron sort of shot, took a step back. Another one of the Pelicans, I don't know who came in, was in his face as well. He was double teamed, but it was a poorly constructed play. And the thing is, LeBron's slow. He's still a great player. I'm not ripping him, but you've got to move a little bit more. Like, it's almost like he expected them to let him just shoot the ball. Like, it was like, bro, when LeBron got the ball, I don't want to tell LeBron James what to do, but LeBron, you should have gotten the ball and taken it to the top of the key and given yourself some space instead of standing there expecting them to roll over. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Or want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Whoa, yeah! Wow! Let's do this thing. It's the Friday Night Freak Show. I am Morenci. I promise we're going to get to all the World Cup lines for the opening matches. The Pelicans just beat the Lakers. LeBron James, 114-111. LeBron had a chance to tie the game with a last-second three. He had a hard time getting an open look. We will give credit to the Pelicans for great defense at the end. They really did. They got in his face. He did kind of look a little slow. Like I said, it was almost like he expected them to let him shoot. I know LeBron expects this, like, you know, he's the so-called king and stuff, but it was almost like he thought, like, all right, I'm going to get the ball, and you're just going to let me shoot the three here. It's like, no, bro, you got to work for it a little bit, and he didn't. He kept on just doing a fake, but it was like I said, he had 3 seconds. He had time to sort of create some space, but, hey, it is what it is. There's no moral victories, you know, for the Lakers at this time. They played well. Enough, and then they end up blowing the game in the end to the Pelicans again. Big win for the Pelicans as far as the play-in is concerned. So a lot of stuff to get to. Let's bring in Mr. Tony Finn right now. Let's talk some Final Four, maybe some baseball futures, wager talk. Tony Finn, what's up, Tony?
It's a good day. It's a good day here in the Mojave. Beautiful 90-degree weather coming in the next week, and 80s, 90s here, as you well know, Gabe. Perfect weather. So everything's good. You?
What's your big breakdown of Group C of the World Cup, Tony? Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland going head-to-head. Who do you like?
I like Poland.
Poland. Hey, I tell you, Poland get Mexico. Poland get... oh, what, good karma for letting all the refugees in right now?
Exactly. Yeah, good karma.
Here's Tony's handicap. I like here's good angle right there. They're playing Mexico in the first game. Just for the record, guys, Mexico quickly are their small favorites. Mexico are plus 150, and Poland are plus 180. The draw is like plus 220. So plus 150, plus 180, basically a pick 'em. Mexico are a little bit favored. And we'll get into this earlier because, you know, Mexico are overranked. I mean, Mexico are not the 10th best team in the world right now. Canada just beat them. And Canada's gets stuck in this stupid Group F with Belgium, Morocco, and Croatia, but we'll get to that later. So, Tony, have you put in any Major League Baseball futures, win totals?
I have put in one. Major League win total, just one. I have some futures, one win total, and that would be, let me just, off the top of my head, I'll tell you right now, Cincinnati under. I'm on the Reds under their number. So I'm looking it up right now to make sure I accurately give you what I got. I've seen a couple different numbers. I don't know about you.
Yeah, they're starting to move around a little bit here. Yeah, well, I listen, I'm at, the Reds don't want to win. Right, so that's one thing. I just sort of make it easy and don't overthink things. I look, all right, the organization, what's their approach coming into the year? They had a good little ball club. They had some talent, and they're just letting everyone go, or they're trading them. Tony, it's 73.5 does seem a little ambitious. That's what FanDuel has right now, 73.5.
And I got in this game, my future play, I'm pulling it up, what I got was 74.
An even 74.
Can you believe I got an even number? However,
Yeah. I bitched about that last night because there were some NFL win totals that were posted in Vegas, and there were some even numbers. That's kind of annoying. Wouldn't you rather the half? Do you really want to go 162 games in 6 months and get a push at the end? Wouldn't you rather have that half?
I'd really have 74.5, but if they were going to give me 73.5, no, I'll take the 74.
That's a good point. I understand that logic. I get that. I've got a few more. I'm not going crazy, right? And you know what? I'm gonna start. Like we're in Final Four mode and stuff like that. So you know, next week, but it's coming up. The season starts Thursday. But I did put in. I've got three that I put in already. I got the Dodgers over 96.5, and I got a good number. It's higher now. So I got the Dodgers over 96.5.
Right.
I've got the Cleveland Guardians under 76.5.
Okay.
And the Seattle Mariners over 84.5.
All right.
But there's a new one that I'm really, really liking. And I'm ready to pull the trigger on this one. I haven't yet, but I'm ready to. I'm just going to do some finals. But I'm down with this. It's the Colorado Rockies. Colorado Rockies over 68. And a half. Yep. I think it's too light. Yeah.
Wow.
Over. I think it's too light.
I'm showing 69.5. So that's a good number then. I'm showing 69.5
on. It was. Yeah. People bet it down. It was 69.5, but I'm seeing 68s now. And listen, there's going to be different numbers for this. I get it. Yeah, Tony, if you listen, the Rockies are a good home team. They signed Chris Bryant. They've got Grishuk in from the Blue Jays. He's going to hit 25 home runs there, whatever. He'll be good at in that stadium. And on the road, so who do they actually play? I mean, they're in the National League. Arizona, well, so it's not like Arizona are challenging. So they got to deal with the Dodgers. I get it. And I'll tell you what, I'm a Dodger fan. Colorado will give us problems. They always have. Like even last year and whatever years, Colorado, the Dodgers lost the home opener, the season opener last year to Colorado off the top of my head. Like they don't, like the Rockies, you know, scrap with the Dodgers. They get fired up for those games. And I'm just saying, like, look, Cincinnati suck. You just talked about it. The Cubs are below average. The Cubs are sort of whatever. The Pirates' payroll is pathetic. The Pirates aren't trying to win. The Marlins, like, like when the Rockies go on the road, Tony, in these a lot of these series, is I'm not intimidated. So Rockies at Reds. It's not like I'm going to get swept. Rockies at Marlins. I'm not getting swept. Rockies at Cards. I'm not getting swept. 68.5, I like the over.
How about there's a two that I have not pulled the trigger on. And I'll get your opinion on this. And the class of the NL Central, and not just the class of the NL Central, by far, the Brewers. And that,
yeah.
I have a flat 90 on that, which, and I have a Here's the problem. When was the last time the Brewers won 90? Well, they've won 90 games back when they went to the World Series, what, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. But this crew, this pitching crew, they still need to have Yelich. Still has to have some kind of a comeback year from what he, you know, from the pandemic to last year to what he was in 2019, those years, or 18 in particular. Can he? Will he? Is he capable? Does he have the skill set? I think he does, but I'm kind of waiting some intel on him and how the true spring he might be having or the true training camp that he's having, because I don't trust what I read and I haven't been able to see. I haven't been down to Arizona typically this year. This time of year, I'll make my way down to Arizona for a while and watch some baseball, but I have not done that.
The Milwaukee, I'll tell you what, we had Jay Jaffe on from Fangraphs earlier in the week, and, you know, Fangraphs are one of the top respected sites with baseball and their projections. I asked him, who's a team that we didn't talk about that you like this year? Like, you know, what's your pick? He gave us the Milwaukee Brewers. So he likes the Brewers over. We had Frank Schwab on from Yahoo Sports. Good gambler. He does the gambling. He's a betting guy over at Yahoo Sports. Right. And he's good. Like, he's finishing like 30th in Super Contest before. He's not just a writer. You know what I mean? He's good.
Right.
And he said, yeah, that's his play. Like, he loves the Brewers over. And he did premise it by saying he was born in Milwaukee, even though he lives in Colorado now. But he's all over the Brewers. And you look at the Brewers. Look, Tony, like, They are capable of getting to this number. They don't do it all the time. They sort of top out that 86, 89. They got to 96 once. But this division is worse than – this division's worse than it has been in a long time, right? I mean, Pittsburgh are terrible. Cincinnati, Cubs are middling. And you get the Cardinals, and the Cardinals really aren't scaring anybody right now.
They're always overvalued to some degree. They're 84. Their number's 84. But here's – my thing is, much as I'm certain that your guests talk about, no, I'll pitch everyone.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Not only in the division, they'll pitch almost everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Can they hit? Can they hit?
And they got Hader. They got the bullpen. So my deal is with Milwaukee, you know what I think? They're regular season Warriors. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're going to cruise through the division and they'll lose in the playoffs.
You thought that?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. The Milwaukee Brewers are the Utah Jazz. Where's Gorman Thomas? This is Sports Rage. Remember the old mustache? Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it. Mo, $23 on New York.
You think you know, but you don't.
But you don't.
You say you will, but you won't.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. See some Blue Jay and Pirate spring training highlights. And we're just talking a little baseball future. I want to get into the basketball, but I'm excited for this. The baseball futures. I think there's some money to be made. Speaking of which, though, there was a game I liked in the AFL to go over. It was Carlton and Hawthorne. And I'm pretty sure it was Carlton and Hawthorne. I'll get to that after. That's later. The game coming up right now, Great Western Sydney and Gold Coast in about 10 minutes' time. Great Western Sydney and Gold Coast. I'll tell you what, Great Western Sydney, they haven't won a match yet. They're 0-2. Gold Coast are 1-1. Gold Coast generally aren't that good. Great Western Sydney are usually pretty good. I'm going to go money line here, Great Western Sydney. Great Western Sydney, money line. Let's rock. A little Australian action in the late night hours here, Tony.
I like it.
Yeah, some Aussie.
We talked about that, you know, back in the old days, back in the long time ago. We used to do some Aussie basketball and hockey some Japanese soccer, whatever we could get down on, you know, overnight. That's pretty much what we do here.
That's what we're doing here.
We didn't know enough. I didn't know enough to really make a sound, logical wager. You know, it was just for fun, right?
Well, that's the thing. Well, you start off for fun, and then if you haven't, you know what I mean, you get into the league and you keep going, and you keep going. Like, I used to bet the NBL a lot, the National Basketball League in Australia. And in fact, we got Melbourne, Illawarra coming up here. We got three games coming up in the late night hours. It's like you said, it's degenerate stuff. It's for the hardcores that don't sleep and want action all the time, right? There's a baseball game on in Japan right now. Hey, look, there's a basketball game. But some of the countries are good, some of the countries are not, the leagues, etc. The Australian League is a bettable league, though. It's like it's not shady. Like it's not fixed. It's a real league. Quality of play is pretty good. There'll be a lot of former NCAA players that you'll recognize if you watch it. Just quickly on baseball here, I like where you're going with the Reds. I wish that we get a little number, but I like where you're going with the Reds because I don't think they're going to be all that good. The division is bad, but I don't think they're going to be all that good.
No.
I brought up Colorado, and that's what I like about it, though, Tony, and I don't get I don't get turned off or deterred and stuff. Like, if people are cold to a pick I like, I don't care. Because I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not going to take Colorado. That sounds risky and all that. It's like, fine. That's why it's 68.5. you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I got to win 69 baseball games. Fine. It's not asking too much. And as I stated, I think with the bats that they have, they're going to win games at home, and they'll be just fine on the road. They're going to lose, on the road a bit, but I like that. I like that over. And there's a couple of more, too, that I haven't pulled the trigger on yet just because of bankroll. I'm rolling money over and stuff, and I want to put bigger plays on this stuff. But the Detroit Tigers are very interesting this year, Tony. The Detroit Tigers over 77.5.
Right. I like the over in this game. I think the Tigers are – what they did in the offseason showed me a lot. They showed me that no longer are they – they're still in a build. I think we both agree that the Tigers are still in a build. But what they – some of the things that they accomplished last year were above and beyond, I thought, the skill set that I believe they had, Gabe. And listen, I'm a Tigers fan to some degree. While I have no favorite team, as you well know, my favorite team is the team I have money on. I spent a lot of time at Tiger Stadium. I had a girlfriend that was from Detroit, and so we made a lot of trips there. And I have a lot of memories of old Tiger Stadium. The flagpole still standing there. No stadium. Still got the flagpole standing up where Tiger Stadium was. And I was looking at some old pictures. But I saw George Brett hit three home runs in an April game there at Tiger Stadium. So I saw a lot of things happen in that stadium that I'll never forget. And so I kind of have a little bit of a warm spot for the Tigers, definitely.
The stadium was crazy with the outfield fence. Yes. It was like this.
There was bad seats. There was a lot of bad seats, and they're behind the poles.
Yeah. We were talking about that with Fenway the other day, in which I went to Fenway when I was a kid, and I sat right behind the pole. literally.
Behind the bench? Behind the dugout? No, I sat behind the pole.
I had a pole. Everybody, I'd always lean over and stuff. But in fact, every time I've been there, there was always a pole. They're old stadiums. There's poles everywhere. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But then people bitch, oh, there's stupid poles in the way. And then after, oh, I miss the old park. Oh, we miss the old tradition of the old park. It's like, you used to bitch that it smelled like urine and there were poles everywhere.
Yeah,
that was a bad analogy. My bad. So I'm just sort of blasting through them right now. We're going to do it for real next week, guys. And we can't bet them all because, I'm not just going to bet $100 on it. I'm putting research into this and stuff, so I'm betting real money. And I'm not forcing them. So Arizona, I'm not interested in. Atlanta, 91.5. I think the Braves are good, but I don't want to mess with that total, 91.5. This one, next one, though, I do like, and it's so low, and normally you said, you want to buy high when it's so low, but, dude, they're terrible, bro. The Baltimore Orioles are bad, right? Yeah, the Orioles, they're bad, and look at the division that they play in. 18 games against the Blue Jays.
Right.
The Blue Jays always murder them. Like, the Blue Jays are, 55-4 against these guys or something in the last 15, you know what I mean? It's been, years the Blue Jays, kill these guys.
Right.
You got the Yankees 18 games, the Red Sox 18 games, the Rays 18 games, and the Blue Jays 18 games. It's not going to end well for them. You know what I mean? It's not going to end well for them.
I agree. Listen, and for the most part, they, you know, for the last couple of years, they have been a team that I've picked on. Rarely did I step out and support the Baltimore Orioles because it was difficult for me to do. It was very difficult for me to do, even against the less thans in the league with them. Baltimore we were kind of the bully, you know, against Baltimore Orioles because we didn't ever support them, never stood behind them, but always stood in front of them. I agree with you.
Tony, they won 52 games. So we're saying
yes. Yeah.
They won 52 games last year, and we're talking right now, guys, so 61.
Yep.
So are the Baltimore Orioles going to win 10 more games this year? Are they 10 games more improved? Like, no.
I wouldn't look at Baltimore that way, Gabe, although I wouldn't argue with you with that. I would, like you just did with when I mentioned Milwaukee or you mentioned Cincinnati, and that is the division better than they were last year? And if they are, and the Orioles are, you know, they're basically status quo, sitting right where they were last year, then you're right. Is the division worse? I don't think the division is worse. I don't think Tampa Bay back up a little bit. But yeah.
Oh, and I didn't even bring up the Rays. 18 games in the Rays. Yeah, and the Rays never back up, though. You always think they do, but they don't.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. That's true.
No, but if you look at Baltimore, they won 52 games. All right, you had the pandemic shortened season. They actually didn't suck there in 25 and 35 in a 60-game run. But before that, they won 54 games. The year before that, they won 47 games. Sense a pattern here? So what, are they going to jump and skyrocket suddenly to 62? No. It's not happening. It's not happening, guys.
There you go. It sounds like to me that's a fairly passionate speech, and I believe you believe that. So there you go. Then you know what to do.
Oh, yeah. It's my money. It's like J.G. White. Right. It's my money, and I'm going to bet it now. Hey, unless Eddie Murray, Jim Palmer, and Frank Robinson are walking through the door, I don't think it's happening for them. I think they're in a lot of trouble. I think they're in trouble.
Here's it's not a conundrum per se, but this is the way I play futures in baseball and football. All my futures, I only play futures with my credit accounts because I don't like to tie that money up. We've talked about this before.
I understand the logic, but I don't do that anymore. So yeah, you know what I mean? So I'm not. It's one of those.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say I don't bet on credit.
Okay. Oh, that. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah,
I'm saying. I don't bet on credit.
That's the whole deal. Is I very rarely play those credit accounts. I mean, I play occasionally, and there if I get a better number there, substantially better, I'm there. You know what I mean? But you're right. You're right. And the credit accounts I have, Gabe, are, you know, there's a settlement. There's a settlement number, so I may not see the guy or talk to him for 2 months, you know, to either collect or pay. So.
All right. So, see, that's the difference. I'm confident enough in the play to put my own money on it. That's the difference.
Okay. All right. I get it.
Yeah, if you just start firing things off, too, that changes your perception. You'll start taking chances on other things that, I guess I'll do this. I'm not saying I haven't done it, but like 20 years ago type thing, 15, you know what I mean?
Well, you grew up faster than me. I still get to grow up. Just ask my wife.
No, you never have. That's your problem.
That's right.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's why we always say what Tony Finn does do not represent the views of me or anyone else here.
That's correct.
So, you're on your own. You're on your own. But like I said, I'm not forcing them, but the Brewers, listen, the Brewers number right now at FanDuel is 89.5. That's manageable to get to 9.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tiny. They should. That's not my pick, though. Everyone else likes it. That's not the one that jumped off the screen at me.
Well, I can't wait to hear it, then.
I'm going to have about 6 of them, I think. I'll have a six pack. I'll have about six baseball futures.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Late night anger management class. And Dodger fans are so nice. I see a tweet here. Dodgers thug. Matt Kemp will always be one of my favorite Dodgers. See, like, Dodger fans, that Dodger fan, like, if Matt Kemp was on the Yankees, people would be like, I can't believe Matt Kemp made all that money. Yeah, Tony, see the difference in fans? Like, I saw, like, today, like, A.J. Pollock, thank you so much for your contributions. That's why they're the Dodgers. They're a classy organization. Their fans are nice and stuff. New York is, like, the complete opposite. It's like the second you're gone, it's like, suck it. We never really liked you anyways. We thought you sucked. Like it's, right. It's a cold world. All right, so let's get into the final four Tony. Final four. Let's start off with Villanova and Kansas. What's your breakdown?
Well, this game jumped out at me in several different ways. Two really contrasting styles and during that Elite Eight, the final, basically the game that got Villanova a seat, you know, a courtside seat for the Final Four at Caesars there in New Orleans, was impressive to say the least. But this is a team that was already really had no bench, used a six-man rotation. Let me preface this by saying, I don't think you need a lot of depth in the big dance in that tournament because of the days between the games. You got one, you know, you had the set of two where you have one day between, but
I agree with that.
The commercials are longer, all those things that doesn't require depth like you might need in conference play. But there's a difference
between depth and having five guys.
I agree. And that's six. Listen, Villanova and Jay Wright have done a great job with six all year long, haven't they? I mean, the Big East isn't—they're not sliced bread. I don't think they're the bottom probably of the Power Six, right there with Pac-12. But that said, Jay Wright has a history, a pretty darn good history, not only of winning when he's in the dance, but covering when he's in the dance. So I will say this: though, when they get to this point, Jay Wright's never, unless he's been a favorite or a higher seed, he has not succeeded. Both they've met three times, Kansas, Villanova, since 2008. 2008 is when Mario Chalmers and that group won the national championship, Bill Self's first championship. Mario went on to win an NBA championship as well. But later on, I think 16 and 18, Villanova, you know, won both. Basically, they were there. And better, they were better teams, and they weren't deeper necessarily in Kansas. And probably not. I don't think that they were that much more talented. So there you go. I mean, Jay Wright's a better coach, I think, than Self, at least in this situation, and he's proved himself more times. Although Bill Self's 2-1 in this situation, he's 2-1 and lost the last one and won obviously in 2008. But it's hard for me to play against Kansas with their depth. What they're going to do? Everybody I've talked to, everybody. Everybody that covers the Jayhawks that I know, Gabe, has said the same thing to a man. They've said, listen, I've been to the practices, I've talked to people, and Self is going to force this team to be in transition. Even when the opportunity doesn't present itself, they want to run these five kids for Villanova as much as they can. My question is this to you. I'm not certain that Jay Wright and Gillespie are not going to be able to control this tempo of this game. You know they're going to slow it down. They're going to use 20 seconds, 24 seconds of the shot clock and try to wear down Kansas defensively. That's what they're going to try to do. I still like Kansas here minus the number.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Tony. That's the thing with Villanova. And as a Michigan fan, I warned people. I tweeted about it before. And I said, you cannot cannot get into a half court game with these guys.
No, that's what they want.
Like, they're going to slow it down. They're going to play a half court, and they're so good defensively. It's hard to pass it in inside. There's no lanes. Like, they clog everything up. They read everything quickly. They rotate quickly. They're just so good defensively. So I get that, and I totally believe it. That number one, Kansas. And, you know, the way to and everybody ends up playing their style. You're right. Like, Jay Wright just lures you into this, man, because they're not going to panic. Even if you're up 6 or 8 on them, they'll still walk it up the floor on you. But that's 15 points they don't have with Moore right now. 34 minutes, 15 points gone.
Yep.
It's going to be tough to replace. They were already offensively challenged. And,
I'm going to interrupt you real quick. I will say this, and I think it's important for those out there who are considering what to do. If this game comes down to the last minute or a possession, or one team's trying to hold on to the lead, trying to catch it, guess who's going to win? It's going to be Villanova. They shoot 80% from the free throw line. They don't miss from the free throw line. They just don't miss.
No, they were 15-15 in the last game. they were 15-15, and they were 10-12 against Michigan.
Right.
I think it's higher than 80. I don't know if it's 90.
Well, I pull it up.
80? What's their exact? I think it's higher than 80.
I'll tell you what it is. It's exactly what it is, and that is 83%.
83%
of the season. Yeah. Number one in Division One. Number one.
83. Yeah. Like I said, I know. They went 10-12 against Michigan, and they won by 8. And Michigan went 7-14 from the line.
Right.
Like, so even then, that's my whole point, guys. They're sort of like a hockey team, where 5-on-5, they're gonna mess you up. Right, but if you get them on a power play or shorthanded, like, you can deal with them. But in that 5-on-5 setting, and just for the record too, Jay Wright is 7-1 against the spread in 8 matchups against Bill Self.
That's right.
5-3 straight up. Yet you brought a couple of other things though. Look, Jay Wright, it's pretty crazy, guys. In the last 3 years, Jay Wright's only been an underdog of more than 4 points twice, and crazy. He lost both games, for the record. So they lost both of them. And this year, they're just 2-3-1 as an underdog on the season. Like, you mentioned about the Big East. Listen, man, he did a hell of a job getting this team to the Final Four. Call it out for what it is, right? I think it's the end of the line for them. It could be idiotic betting against a coach that's 19-4 in his last 23 NCAA tournament games. But I just think Kansas are too much for them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out. If Kansas can score some transition buckets against this team and get any kind of a lead, and I mean any kind of a lead, 8-10 points, you said it. This team's not going to panic. However, they're also not built to play from behind.
And that's the whole thing, too. And how do you get them, like, out of their game? You've got to bury them early, bro. Right? Like, if you're hitting shots on them and stuff, like, it suddenly... It's like, yeah, whatever, guys. Go ahead. Walk up the court. We're up 13 on you. What I mean? Like, they sort of have that. Go ahead. You know what I mean? Go slow. It reminds me, though, it's funny, like, when it comes to clashes. A great example, actually, was Rick Barnes. Barnes said, I remember Barnes said at the half when Michigan, they asked him, are you surprised Michigan are playing this tempo with you? And he said, quite frankly, yeah. He goes, I didn't think they're going to want to run with us, but he goes, I'm glad that they are. He goes, you'll see. Like, he sort of was happy, and it didn't work for him, right? And we're going back a ways, guys, but as a Michigan fan, I never forget. Michigan were the defending national champions, all right? And they won in 89. They were defending, so it was 1990. And it was the famous, unfortunate, tragic story of Hank Gathers passing away with Loyola Marymount. But Michigan weren't the same team. Like, they didn't have Glenn Rice. They didn't have Ramil Robinson. So they weren't the same team, but they were technically the defending national champions. And they were good. They were good. They were like 24-9 or something on the season, whatever. Right. Like, they were pretty good. Yeah. But I never forget, they were playing Loyola Marymount, who played the quickest tempo out of anybody in the history of college basketball, right? And Michigan said before, man, if these guys think that they're going to run up and down the court on us, go ahead. They said, we'll kill them. Right? Like, the Michigan players thought that we're way better than these guys are. Right. And let's run with them. And Steve Fisher, I think it changed Steve Fisher for life. And he changed his style after that game.
Yeah.
It was the highest scoring game in NCAA tournament history.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and what happened? Loyola Marymount ran Michigan out of the gym.
I remember that well.
Yeah. I'm looking up the game right now. Off the top of my head, it was 149-1. It wasn't 149-115. It wasn't that extreme. I think it was 149-129. 147-129? What was it? Let me get it. It was. You remember that style, Tony? It was nuts.
I do. And I remember. Yeah, I remember that style well. And I remember when they were basically.
Yeah, it was. I got it right the first time. God, I should have trusted myself. 149-115 final score.
That's. Can you imagine?
That's a college game, guys. Imagine that happened now.
Crazy.
140. Imagine scoring 115 points in a college game, Tony, and losing by 34 points.
kids don't do that. I mean, I've seen a few games, 150. I remember it's been 10 years or so ago, but I remember Bill Self. I think it was Bill Self beat up, scored 150 on Kentucky and Patino. I don't know if you remember that, but it was the next year, you know, revenge. We talked about that, and the kids feel that, the pros, kids feel a sense of revenge playing a team if they've embarrassed. They do, and Kentucky came back and, you know, put it too. We're real physical with KU, but 100. But that was an every day, every game night. For Gathers and company, they were fantastic and a lot of fun to watch.
Jeff Fryer had 41. Wow. He was 11 of 15 from three. Bo Kimble had 37. Hank Gathers, unfortunately, passed away like weeks before. And my correction. Although I'm impressed, I remember the score off the top of my head like that, 149-115. Ramil Robinson did play. Glenn Rice got drafted by the Miami Heat. Ramil was still there, and the next year he got drafted by the Atlanta Hawks and was an NBA bust. And has lived a crazy, not a good life since his life has not been good since all this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like bad. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, like whatever. Exactly. But we wish him the best.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we agree. Both of you and I are locked. We're buddies on this. We're like dumb and dumber. Yeah, big up Jay Wright as the legend, the guy, the best coach in college ATS in the country. And we're betting against him. But. I agree.
Listen, this team doesn't shoot very well from three. They have to – listen, they're going to have to knock down, I think, 6-8-3 to have any chance at all to beat KU. And look at some of the scores, Gabe, that they played in the Big East, and they played a slow brand of disciplined and deliberate basketball. And this is something that KU – I think KU has to – they have to force – tempo to some degree to also be successful, too. So it's an interesting game, to say the least.
All right, let's get into Duke, North Carolina. There's another game. Huh? I heard two sort of mid-tier programs going head-to-head here in North Carolina and Duke. So I said last night, I said this actually earlier and as well, this is going to be I think it'll be the most bet game in the history of college basketball.
It may be. It may well be.
UNLV Duke was big. Michigan and Duke was big. Like, guys, that was sort of the real – listen, Michigan State and Indiana State was the biggest college basketball game ever as far as television is concerned, but betting was a different piece. UNLV versus Duke was just sort of so symbolic, the Running Rebels versus the preppy, yuppie kids from Duke. And then they had the Fab Five versus Duke, which is also one of the big, like, epic sort of titles.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Games. But this one, generational. Like, coming up. More with Finn on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three-minute warning. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Really is super quick tonight, isn't it? Man, great show. All right, so let's set the stage here. We got Tony Finn with us for about another 10 minutes. One of these mini, I know it's annoying, we got a little mini two-minute segment here, and then sports updates, and a couple of commercials, and all that. Welcome to AM Radio. Hey, it's what happens when you're syndicated, baby. So we, you know, there's all these little mini breaks for different networks and stuff like that, but we'll get into this. So let me just set the stage here. So we're going to Tobacco Road. It's as big as it gets. These guys have played 257 times before, but never in the NCAA tournament. But it should be noted, they played in the NIT once. So it's the second time they're playing in the postseason. And for the record, they played in the semifinals of the NIT in 1971, and North Carolina won. North Carolina won, and off the top of my head, 73-69. And off the top of my head is usually right. So it was the 142-15. They played 49 times on a neutral court in their history. Tar Heels hold the advantage, 27-22. Now let's get into, you know, more recent stuff here. The Tar Heels guys are actually 8-2 against the spread the last 10 games against the Duke Blue Devils. Right. This is something that I find interesting as well. Final four coaches coaching in their first Final Four, actually 7-1-1 against the spread the last nine times that it's happened. Lower seeds, though, do not do well here. No. So eight seeds or lower are 2-7-1 the last 10 times against the spread they've made it to the Final Four. The last six games between these two teams have gone over the number. And Duke are actually on a 7-1 overrun right now. They're, you know, setting some of the numbers here. We'll get Tony's thoughts. He can digest it all. And speaking of seeds as well, guys, Kansas are the one seed, right? Kansas are the one seed, and Nova are two seed. One seed versus two seeds. The last 16 times we've had a one seed and a two seed play in the Final Four, the one seed is 12-4 against the spread. That's a little counter-argument against all those Jay Wright numbers for everybody. More with Finn on the other side. Bring it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.